This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. As residents around the Coulee region enjoy nature areas this summer, they might not realize the trail they're hiking or their prairie they're exploring was maintained by WisCor. But this nonprofit program does much more than conservation work. From serving in local neighborhoods to providing job skills for youth of all abilities, the organization has historic roots in serving the public through conservation and employment. Joining us to talk about the history and the future of the WisCor program are Matthew Brantner, Executive Director of WisCor, Andrea Frisch, coordinator for the organization's new inclusive program, and Carmen Zinke, a former participant of WisCor. First, Matthew, can you just explain, you know, what is WisCor? Can you give us a brief summary of kind of what you guys do?
Sure. Thanks for having us on today. So WisCor is an organization, we're a conservation organization founded back in 2009 that has a focus on training young adults for the workforce through projects that are hands-on that benefit our natural areas. So things like habitat restoration, trail building, building inclusive type trails, doing a lot of different conservation work around the state. And what that does is it allows for a lot of hands-on job skills training for young adults in our area. So we've really grown since 2009, really into all facets of being able to help young adults prepare for the workforce through those vehicles of those conservation projects.
Yeah, and you know, as you mentioned, WisCor started in 2009, but you know, your organization kind of has some ties back to the 1930s Civilian Conservation Corps. I wonder if you can just kind of give us a history of how WisCor came to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, our great-great-grandparent would be the Civilian Conservation Corps, the Depression-era program started by Roosevelt during the Depression. And what ended up happening is after that program disbanded in 1943, several states looked at that and said, wow, that was a great program. It built our national parks. It built our state parks. It did a lot of water erosion control projects, planted, thousands and thousands and thousands of trees. And the state said, well, that's a great program. Let's continue that. Let's not have it be a federal program. Let's have it be a state program. And over the course of the next couple decades, programs that were run by the state, very similar to the CCC, popped up all over the country. And most of these programs are very successful. They kind of grew and trained, thousands of young adults every year. But then in the 1980s, a lot of those state programs started going away. There's different funding priorities, and a lot of those programs started closing, those legislated state programs. Around that same time, a program in Vermont became the nation's first nonprofit conservation corps. It was the Vermont Youth Conservation Corps. And that was a model that really sparked a renaissance of these type of youth core programs, these programs that take young adults and train them for the workforce through conservation projects. And WisCor is really no exception to that. So when our state program cut, went away in 2003, there's about a six-year gap. And then myself and another individual, and actually a small group of individuals here in La Crosse, came together to rebuild Wisconsin's Conservation Corps is a nonprofit organization, and WisCor was born in 2009. So really, we are just another step in that great history of, youth conservation corps programs in the state of Wisconsin and across the country.
Carmen, why do you think WisCor is, as a former participant, why do you think WisCor is important for the community?
You get a lot of different skills. They teach you a lot of different skills, like using power tools, learning how to build things, such as we learned how to build a bridge at Hickson Forest. We also learned how to use like a circular saw and a grinder and all that. We made up some storage boxes for our tools, for like all the rakes and shovels and all that. And then it also teaches you, like they taught me how to do really good interview skills, which is how I ended up getting my current job. So yeah, they teach you a bunch of different things, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. And so, I want to take a step back and maybe talk about kind of how you guys identify the projects that WisCor handles. And so, Andrea, what are the kind of the, qualifications for a WisCor project? How do you guys come across these sorts of different projects to work on?
So we have a wide range of different projects. So for our neighborhood crews, we really just work with local community members. We also work with local nonprofits, such as the Habitat Habitat Through Humanities organization in La Crosse and all of the other counties that we serve in western Wisconsin to maybe refer some individuals for the inclusive crew. We're doing some projects around our headquarters, Myrick Park, to create more accessible trails. So, you know, just recreating and walking to work every day, we kind of see different projects that can that we can work on, as well as we have some crews that are doing some work in national parks. So we have we make contracts with the National Forest Service, the national parks, to do different projects that they need done as well.
So you mentioned, you know, the neighborhood crew and the inclusive crews, and, you know, you guys also have your conservation crews, obviously. So, you know, Matthew, I wonder if you can kind of explain the differences between these kind of three different mm-hmm. programs.
Absolutely. So there's several different programs that we run through WISCOR. The first that we started out doing was the conservation program. And that's where we take 4 to 5 young adults at a time per crew, and we pair them up with an adult mentor, someone who's very experienced doing the conservation work, very experienced at training young adults, you know, teaching them those job skills that they need to be successful. And we send those crews out all across the state doing conservation work. So again, things like building hiking trails, planting trees, a lot of reforestation work, building bridges like Carmen talked about, and a lot of habitat restoration projects. And we do that literally in every corner of the state of Wisconsin. Since we've been in an organization, we've worked in, you know, Milwaukee, we've worked in La Crosse, we've worked up north in Superior, Wapaka, Stevens Point, you know, all over the state. And that really spawned then the idea of doing what we call our neighborhood crews, our neighborhood revitalization crews. We thought that if we can take young adults and train them for the workforce doing conservation projects, why can't we do the same thing and do projects that benefit our communities? So the focus of these neighborhood crews, and there's a couple different programs that we have that run these neighborhood crews, the focus of the neighborhood crews is to do projects that revitalize our communities. That can be La Crosse, that could be Black River Falls, that could be, you know, Prairie du Chien. There's a lot of different towns that we do these crews in. And the premise is the same. So we take the same crew of young adults, pair them up with the same adult crew leader mentors, but instead of doing trail projects or habitat restoration projects, we send them out and we do basic home repairs for folks who are elderly or maybe have a disability that can't do a lot of the same work on their home anymore. So we'll fix fences and landscape and do tree pruning in their yard or do painting, you know, things that really help that person with their home repairs and actually help them stay in their homes longer. We've gotten lots of letters from especially elderly, you know, in this case, elderly widow who wasn't able to do that work herself. And she said, "You've helped me stay in my home longer because of the work that your crews did." And so imagine the pride that these young adults like Carmen get to feel when they know that they help someone out in their community. Other community revitalization projects can be things like removing graffiti or helping out in parks departments with different, you know, light parks maintenance tasks, those types of things. Again, things that revitalize our communities. And so those are the main focus of the, you know, the conservation crew, the neighborhood crews. Andrew can talk a little bit more about the inclusive crews here a little later in the program. And then we also have, I do want to touch on, we took over a environmental education program back in 2014 and really are carrying the torch on environmental education in the La Crosse community. What we do through that is we have over 7,500 youth and adults come through and learn about nature, learn about the marsh, learn about prairies, learn about forest habitats, habitats and adaptations with different animals and that type of thing at our headquarters at the Myrick Park Center in Myrick Park. And that's been another wonderful addition because it really takes our whole program full circle. We can work with a little kid who's maybe in, you know, third grade, and someday that little kid will become one of our core members, just like Carmen, and will maybe take a hands-on approach to conserving our natural resources with the ultimate goal that we hope these young adults that work with us will be future leaders in, you know, Wisconsin's conservation workforce and just really in conservation in general with what we do.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about WISCOR and how the nonprofit is working to improve conservation and employment opportunities for everyone in the community. We're here with WISCOR Executive Director Matthew Brantner, Inclusive Program Coordinator Andrea Frisch, and former WISCOR participant Carmen Zinke.
And Matthew, you're talking about, you know, just the work of the conservation crew and also the, you know, the neighborhood crews. And I wonder if you could explain, you know, how you identify certain projects. Are you approached by maybe the city or different communities to have a project done? Or do you, I don't know, seek out projects? Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of both. I know Andrew was talking early in the program about, you know, just simply walking down the street and identifying projects that need to be done. And that's the beauty of these neighborhood crews, is that we can do projects that we identify as maybe needs in the community, or even our core members might identify needs in their home communities. The bulk of our projects, though, people do come to us to do projects. So say the Wisconsin DNR or the National Park Service, they'll actually contact us and say, we have this trail project that needs to be completed, or we have a, you know, 100 acres of habitat where we need to manage some invasive species, or there's some, you know, shoreline that needs to be restored, things of that nature. They actually come to us and apply to have the project done. And as part of our funding source, and that was one thing hadn't talked about earlier yet, is that we're a nonprofit organization, and we're not affiliated with the state as far as any, you know, what the old core used to be. And so all of our funding comes through generous contributions from our supporters. It comes through grants, fundraisers, and then through what we call project sponsorships. So the DNR, for example, could sponsor a project where our crew comes out and builds a new section of trail or a new bridge or things of that nature, and they actually come to us and apply to have a crew do that work. So we literally get, you know, maybe hundreds of applications to come in and do the conservation projects as well as the neighborhood revitalization projects. We have individual homeowners that come in and say, hey, can you help me fix my fence, or do those types of work with our crews.
And Andrea, how long does a typical project take? I mean, it sounds like they're pretty diverse, so I'm sure that, you know, maybe the time range is also diverse.
Right, and it definitely is. For some of our neighborhood crews, it could be a morning job where it takes 3 hours. To the other end of the spectrum, we have a crew that is going up to Isle Royal National Park, and they are spending weeks on a project doing some trail maintenance and trail building. So everything in between sometimes our crews go to a state park for a week, and they'll work on a project for a week and then move to another state park or another location within Wisconsin. So it is a wide variety of different time lengths for projects.
And so, you know, what's the typical time commitment for a participant?
So the typical time commitment for the participant is generally between 4 weeks and 8 weeks, and we even have some opportunities for crew members to work a spring, summer, and fall continuously. So you could start working with us in April and finish your time at WISCOR in October or the first week of November, depending on when the snow flies. So we have a variety of different time commitments. The inclusive crew is 4 weeks long, and we all stay together in a house in La Crosse. While the neighborhood crews, it's 4 weeks long, everyone works 40 hours a week, but everyone goes home in the evening. And then with our conservation crews, everyone stays overnight, wherever, if it's the state park or Isle Royal. So it's a variety of different time commitments, and I think that's one thing that we can provide young adults, is that flexibility to, you know, hey, come and try us out and work for us for 4 weeks. And, you know, if you like it, you know, come on back and we'll, you know, train you either as a crew member, a crew leader, or a field assistant. We also have some crews that work side by side with state park staff and national forest staff, where, you know, that might be your next employer that you're working with through us. So we offer a variety of different opportunities.
Yeah, and you guys, you know, 16 to 25-year-olds are eligible to participate in the program. And, you know, Matthew, I guess, what kind of qualifications do you look for in someone applying for the WISCOR program?
So really, in its most basic form, we have one qualification that supersedes everything else, and that's that they have to want to do the program. They have to want to make a difference in their community. They have to want to positively impact Wisconsin's natural resources. And beyond that, each of our programs have different eligibility requirements depending on the program, but it all comes back to that first step, is they have to want to do the program and be excited about doing the work that we do.
And Carmen, you know, what qualities or what kind of characteristics do you think someone needs to have to participate in the WISCOR program?
You have to be wanting to learn what they show you. You need to be a hard worker because some of the work is hard. So you just need to have the motivation to do it.
Yeah, and why were you interested in joining the WISCOR program?
I wanted to learn different skills. I didn't really have much skills. I had, like, my CNA, but it wasn't really anything. And I wanted to learn more skills to possibly find a job in the outdoors. And the people there were really nice, so that definitely was
a good thing. Yeah, and what do you think you gained from participating? I know you kind of talked about that earlier about, you know, maybe some interview skills and things of that nature, but, you know, is there anything else that you really feel like you got out of your time there?
I definitely learned how to work as a big team with, like, multiple, like, the three or four guys that I worked with. I learned to work in a group, and you learn how to communicate, because in order to do, when we built the bridge, you had to say, well, I'm going to do the drill. Can you hold the boards? Or you got to assign jobs or positions to each other in order to do the task. And so communication was definitely a big thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, what were there things that maybe you didn't like about the WISCOR program? Was there any challenges for you?
There's nothing I didn't like about it. I loved it, and I would love to have gone back, but I think I'm met the age requirements. All right. I'm above it, so. But I will do anything to help them, and even if it means volunteering.
Yeah. And, you know, Matthew, what do you want participants of the WISCOR program to get out of the program? You know, what are the things that you hope they take away?
You know, I think one of the biggest things, other than the tangible skills that they learn, the certifications that they can get in the program, things like a resume, mock interviewing experience, you know, things that prepare them for the workforce. I think the biggest thing that I personally like to see them get out of the program is just a motivation to go out there and work, to develop their career, to be hungry for that job. Because a lot of the young adults that come into our program, it's their first job. And I don't know if that was your case or not, Carmen, but a lot of the young adults, it's their very first job. And we even did, at one point, we'd do first paycheck pictures. We'd have a whole crew of young adults who'd never had a first paycheck before, and they got it all at once when they worked on our crew. And so we'd come out and we'd take a picture of, hey, you guys, show us that first paycheck and see that pride in a job well done that translates into earning that paycheck. And if they can develop a hunger and a motivation to go and continue beyond that WISCOR experience in their career path, I think we're winning at that point. That's what we're setting out to do, and I think if we can do that, we're making an impact, you know, on the younger generation here.
That's Matthew Brantner, Executive Director of WISCOR, here with us today to talk about youth employment and conservation efforts through the WISCOR program. Also joining us is Andrea Frisch, Coordinator for WISCOR's new Inclusive Program, and Carmen Zinke, a former participant of the WISCOR program. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. So we've talked a little bit about the conservation crew that you guys have, and as well as the neighborhood crew. But Andrea, I wonder if you can kind of talk about what the inclusive crew is and what this new program hopes to achieve.
Sure. So our new inclusive crew, we are hiring young adults with and without disabilities to work specifically in projects in the La Crosse community and in La Crosse County. And what we're really striving for the inclusive crew is to provide a parallel experience to our conservation crew. Because, you know, sometimes the places that we go are not very accessible if you have a physical disability or if you use a wheelchair. And so we really want to open up our crew member experience and all of the skills that you can gain to people with disabilities.
And how did this idea come about? You know, why did WizCorp kind of identify this as something they wanted to provide for the community?
Sure. So Matt and our operations coordinator, Willie Bittner, both of them have worked on different crews that include people with disabilities. Matt specifically worked with a crew of individuals with visual impairments in Vermont, and Willie has worked with crews in the Minnesota, Iowa Conservation Corps, as a couple of other crews throughout the nation that are, their crew members are primarily deaf or hearing impaired. So they were really excited, even to the interview process when I was interviewing for this position, they were really excited to get this program off the ground and to start a large inclusive crew program. Back when WizCorp was a smaller agency, they got a grant to provide a one-week inclusive crew experience, and they had a very small crew. A few individuals who had visual impairments were on the crew, and they completed a few projects. And since then, it has been their passion and kind of their drive to get the organization to a point where we can create a four-week inclusive crew, and then looking to the future, kind of expand that inclusive environment throughout our neighborhood crews and our conservation crews.
You mentioned this as a kind of a parallel experience to the conservation crew. I wonder if you can elaborate on what that means, what that looks like.
Sure. So down to even like the specifics of how we operate on a day-to-day basis. So we live together in a house. Our conservation crews, some of them live in tents at a state park or a national forest. Some of them rent a house near their national forest or national park. So we provide an independent living experience of where we are going to be, you know, living together as a group. We are going to be cooking our meals together, grocery shopping together, and also spending time in the community together on our leisure time, you know, our weekends off. We also complete projects. We're going to be completing some trail work projects in the city of La Crosse, you know, kind of similar, and we'll be using the similar tools as the conservation crews do. We might just have to adapt those tools or think a little bit creatively about how we tackle some projects so that we can really capitalize on all of the crew members' strengths and abilities.
Yeah, I wonder how, you know, obviously everyone has a unique set of, you know, abilities, and I wonder how you guys are going to, I guess, adapt to, you know, the individuals who participate on the crew.
Right. So some of our individuals that will be on the crew this summer have a variety of different abilities. And what we really want to strive for the inclusive crew is kind of a coming together and creatively problem solving together. So, you know, obviously relying on the person, you know, that has a disability, if they have a great idea of how to, you know, take the wheelbarrow of trail fill from the barn to the trail head, we're going to have them do it because they know their experience best. But maybe, you know, there's a crew member that might not be able to use a tool as effectively or might not be able to see the tape measure of coming together and figuring out how we can make that skill or how we can make that, you know, task accessible so that everyone on the crew can complete it and everyone is included in the completion of the project equally.
Andrea Frisch, coordinator for WizCorp's new inclusive program, is here with us today to talk about the WizCorp program. She's joined by Matthew Brantner, executive director of WizCorp, and Carmen Zinke, a former participant of the WizCorp program. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on how the nonprofit organization is working to improve access to nature and employment opportunities for people of all abilities. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of their past editions of Newsmakers. And if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the WizCorps program. This nonprofit organization has roots back to the Civilian Conservation Corps, a federal program started in the 1930s to provide employment opportunities and improve conservation efforts across the country. WizCorps is continuing that tradition today, but with a new program designed for participants of all abilities. Joining us to talk about WizCorps' new inclusive program are Matthew Brantner, Executive Director of WizCorps, Andrea Frisch, Coordinator of the organization's new inclusive program, and Carmen Zinke, a former participant of WizCorps. And before the break, we were talking about, you know, this new inclusive program, new inclusive crew that you guys have going on, and kind of what that experience will look like. And, you know, Matthew, I wonder if creating this new crew has maybe, you know, raised awareness of the need for more employment opportunities for youth with disabilities in our community.
Absolutely. And Andrew, you'll have to hop in with the percentage if I get this wrong, but I think it's something like the unemployment rate for individuals with a disability is something like 70-some percent. It's very, very high. One of the most unemployed or underemployed groups in the country. And, you know, I think any time that we can start getting at any group of individuals to help them be more successful in the workplace and even enter the workplace. And that's a lot of the issue sometimes is that whether it's a physical barrier or just a barrier to entry into the workforce, we want to be able to remove that and get young people into the workforce and train them and have young people, again, of all abilities, come in and conserve our state's natural resources and revitalize our communities. And so, yeah, so we believe it's really important to be able to bring in and make this experience accessible to, again, individuals with all abilities.
Andrea, how do you think this inclusive crew maybe might challenge some people's perceptions about, you know, what people with disabilities can do, you know, what activities or what work they can complete?
This some of our projects will definitely challenge people's perceptions on disability. We have a few projects that will require a lot of heavy lifting, like moving large boulders that are 2 feet wide, and we're going to be placing them along a bridge for erosion control. And, you know, when you think about, for some people, you know, people with disabilities are fragile. You know, whether they might be using a wheelchair because they have a physical disability, or they might not be able to walk as well as people who have the ability to walk. And so really putting people out there and taking on large projects and large manual labor projects and adapting them to meet the abilities of all of the members will really challenge, I think, some of you know, perceptions. And I even have some perceptions of, I don't know how we're going to pull this off sometimes, because I'm like, we have to get this stone over to where? Okay. But, you know, which is really great working for WizCorps, is that we always have a great support system, whether it is I'm leaning on my assistant crew leader to, you know, bounce ideas off of, or other crew members that might have a different outlook, or even, you know, coming back to headquarters staff, bringing, you know, the puzzle to Matt or Willie to try to solve it so that everyone is still involved with the project and that we get it done, and that we are still, you know, conserving natural resources as well as, you know, going into a space and leaving it better once we've left.
Are there any challenges that you guys may experience with the inclusive crew, and that, I don't know, that, you know, you have concerns about or are anticipating might be a challenge?
Some of the challenges that we've had starting the program, and I think with any new program, you know, whether it is for people with disabilities or people without disabilities, is hiring young adults and convincing them that this is a great job experience, but we have no one to tell you that it is a great job experience. The other thing that I've kind of experienced with this job and recruiting crew members is people don't really understand sometimes of what WISCOR is and what we're about and how the crew member kind of experience kind of plays out. Because for some of our crew members, possibly, this might be the first time that they're away from home for 4 weeks. And, you know, some people are like, so you're living together in a house and you're going to do all of these projects. How is that going to work out? How are you going to think about accessibility? And, you know, how are you going to include everyone? Because, you know, like Matt said, people with disabilities are the largest minority group and have the highest rates of, you know, unemployment and underemployment. So providing a job experience that's 4 weeks long, residential, and we're doing conservation projects, all of those variables put together kind of gives blank stares, and people have to think about it a little bit to really, you know, wrap their minds around the program.
I know that earlier you mentioned that, you know, other organizations like WISCOR that have kind of just worked on addressing, opening up opportunities for people of all abilities. And, you know, Matthew, I wonder if there are any programs that you guys are using as kind of a role model, you know, or gaining inspiration from.
So with programs across the country that are currently doing this as conservation corps, you can count them on one hand. This is really a pioneering type effort. Willie, our operations director, who Andrea had mentioned earlier, and myself were lucky enough to, you know, of the few programs in the country that are doing this, we each were lucky enough to be a part of one of those programs. And so that would be specifically the Vermont Youth Conservation Corps program out in Richmond, Vermont, actually developed a program for young adults who were blind or had a visual impairment, and that was actually where I worked in that program. And again, as Andrew had mentioned, the Conservation Corps Minnesota and Iowa has a program for individuals who are deaf or are hard of hearing. And so there are some precedents for doing these types of programs, but if you think about accessibility in general, there's no precedence for building a trail with someone who uses a wheelchair or doing some of these projects with maybe an individual who has low vision. We're really creating that precedence as we go, and to me, that's really the exciting part. And being able to have open conversations, open dialogues about, you know, how can we best accommodate each individual with each task as we go, and sometimes that's more creative. There, you know, often isn't a piece of equipment that you can just purchase that will help you do X, Y, and Z task out on the trail. We sometimes have to invent equipment. We have to sometimes adapt other equipment to each task. Maybe it wasn't designed for it, but we can adapt it to, you know, do X, Y, and Z task again on the trail. So to me, that's the exciting part. There's other programs, again, a very small number that are doing this in the country, but we're really setting the precedence for this as we go. And to me, that's sometimes the most exciting part about it.
I know that WISCOR is also working to, you know, expand accessibility to nature areas and to different resources in the community for people of all abilities as well. And I wonder if you can talk a little bit about that goal for the program.
Yeah, it's really a vision that we have for it. And Andrew's been so instrumental in helping to develop and put legs to this vision. But really, the vision that I've had for this program from the beginning is to start with this crew this summer, and then by next summer to have our whole program be accessible to individuals with a disability, and then not stop there. Why not have the Marek Park Center and our environmental education program become a destination for inclusive environmental education? And if you put your mindset to that and you start thinking in that way, I mean, there's really no limit to what you can do and how many doors you can open up and barriers that can you can remove to members of your community by just thinking about that, thinking about, okay, jobs, okay, our center, our environmental education programs, all of our programs. So that's really where we want to go with this. We want to be known for the inclusivity that our programs have developed over the last little bit here.
Andrea, What are the common challenges for people with a physical or maybe a mental disability to accessing these? You know, what are the common kind of barriers maybe to access?
Sure. So there's a couple of different barriers. I think the easiest one that comes to mind is structural barriers. So say someone has a physical disability and uses a wheelchair. Maybe it's a power wheelchair. How do they get from the trail or the parking lot to the trail? Do they even know that if the trail is accessible? Things like trail, if we want to really break it down of like to trail width and what the trail is made up of, is really important to users of all types. Some of our trails in La Crosse, the ones right outside of Myrick Park in the Marsh, are some of our most accessible trails in the city. And that doesn't mean that it's asphalt trail or pavement. It's crushed limestone, more natural surfacing. For other barriers, it might be an attitudinal barrier. Perhaps, you know, a lot of our, speaking from my experience, I was introduced to the outdoors by my parents and my family. And some people with disabilities might not have that opportunity. There's also transportation barriers. Sometimes going outdoors, that requires a certain skill, whether it is reading a map or knowing how to get to your house, to the trailhead, or, you know, certain materials that you have to buy, like equipment. They might not be accessible for you, whether it is price or for your body size. So there's a lot of different barriers, and what WISCOR wants to do is really try to add, you know, like the trail level, if you will, to really open up those doors and take away those barriers so that all of the great natural resources that our community offers, the Cooley region, the state, has to offer, that those resources can be accessed by everyone. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to build a wheelchair ramp up to the top of Brady's Bluff in Perot State Park. But that does mean, you know, opening up accessible trails to different features that everybody should be able to be enjoyed.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about WISCOR and how the nonprofit is working to improve conservation and employment opportunities for everyone in the community. We're here with Inclusive Program Coordinator Andrea Frisch, WISCOR Executive Director Matthew Brantner, and former WISCOR participant Carmen Zinke. And Andrea, you're just talking about, you know, some of the common barriers to, you know, for people with physical or mental disabilities to accessing, you know, nature areas and other resources. And, you know, I wonder if you can talk about what people gain from being able to access these. You know, why is this a worthy endeavor to really make sure that, you know, these resources are available to everyone?
Right. So just thinking about, you know, think about it, you know, think about your experience in nature of what, you know, maybe it's your favorite tree in the park, or maybe it's your favorite vista that you can see the bluffs and the marsh, or maybe you like to look at birds or bird. Think about the feeling that you get in nature, and that's what we really want, to have everyone be able to enjoy nature. Another, you know, if we want to talk really, you know, scientifically, there are studies that say that spending time in nature, you know, you have better outcomes for stress management. Some individuals with different disabilities, for example, like autism, being outdoors and doing nature activities helps people focus and helps people experience, you know, different things that they wouldn't typically experience. So we really want to open that up to everyone so that, you know, people can bird if they want to, you know, opening up recreation areas like kayaking, you know, the cardiovascular fitness of kayaking can be, you know, as accessible as someone who can walk up to their kayak and get in, to someone who uses a power wheelchair because they have a spinal cord injury. They can transfer into that kayak. They can kayak independently and still get that fitness. And in the same thing of getting, you know, independence and a sense of self that, you know, a lot of people receive from spending time in nature.
We've been talking about, you know, the inclusive program and all the benefits that it has. And Carmen, you know, you are a member of the Neighborhood Crew program, but I wonder, you know, if what your thoughts are on just, you know, what are the benefits that really come with doing these sorts of, you know, conservation efforts and being out in nature?
I'm just like Andrea. I had my parents raise me pretty much since I was in diapers in the outdoors. And it's very therapeutic listening to the birds and the different wildlife. And just if you have, like, I live out in the country at home, and I listen to the coyotes every single night. And it's a little, but at the same time, it's still kind of cool to hear just all the different wildlife that's around. And so I think it's very therapeutic.
Yeah. And Matthew, you know, earlier you mentioned that WISCOR also provides, you know, nature education to youth. And I wonder, you know, why that is a goal and how that kind of fits into that, you know, appreciation for, you know, our natural resources.
Yeah, what we feel with the education program is that by working with children and adults, we can have a larger impact on just the general education of the public about our natural resources, about nature, and really create a generation of kids and young adults that want to conserve it and want to protect it and want to get out and enjoy it. Because, I mean, a lot of people think, well, why would we do it if we're not going to get out and enjoy it and do those types of things too? Or maybe if they haven't enjoyed it, they have no desire to protect it. And so if we can start with someone who's, you know, say 3 years old and in preschool and teach them about, you know, that an insect has six legs and, you know, things of that very simplistic nature to start, that ultimately it comes full circle. And pretty quick, that 3 year old is 16 or 17 or 18, and they're thinking, okay, I'd love to join a WISCOR crew and actually go and protect these natural resources. And then again, pretty quick, there are park managers and our, you know, they work for the Park Service or the County Park and Rec programs or the DNR, or maybe they have no interest in that field ultimately, but they get out and enjoy the natural resources because of that powerful experience they had, you know, back in a WISCOR crew. So we believe by taking and working with you know, children and adults through the education program, we can just have a larger impact and really make that impact go full circle through all of our programs.
Do you think kids and adults are able to get that sort of nature education in other areas, or is this, you know, something that is kind of unique?
I think it's pretty unique, and maybe I'm biased on that, you know, obviously working with the organization here. But no, I think what we have in La Crosse in particular is special. When I worked in Vermont at the program and at the Vermont Youth Conservation Corps, and it came time to come back to Wisconsin and found a statewide organization with a focus on the conservation of our natural resources, again in WISCOR here, there was no question in my mind that La Crosse was a place that I wanted to do that, and we wanted to bring that back because La Crosse is special. We've got our rivers, we've got our bluffs, we've got our prairies, our oak savannas, you know, all these wonderful habitats and resources that come together here. And right in the middle of that, we have WISCOR, we have the Mark Park Center. And to be able to take these young adults and these, you know, children and adults, as you're talking about, and provide them with environmental education in this setting is truly unique. And it's a very special thing to be able to do that, to walk right outside our door into the marsh, or to walk a quarter mile and be in the forest. And, you know, to be able to have that resource right here in La Crosse and to be able to educate with that classroom is a privilege. It's amazing to be able to do that.
Andrea, how can, you know, people access this nature education? How can, you know, parents maybe involve their kids in it?
So right now we have summer camps that are going on. I think this was our first week of our summer camps. So we have summer camps during the summer. We also are open from 8 to 4, Monday through Friday, and anyone can walk in and enjoy the Myrick Park Center. We have some critters like snakes and turtles and fish and frogs so that you can see wildlife up close that you wouldn't normally get to see, as well as different activities that families can complete together, whether it is walking on the marsh or completing a puzzle together if it's raining. We also offer different programs. A program coming up on Wednesday, more geared towards adults, is Enviro Wednesdays. That will be happening at the Myrick Park Center at 7 p.m. It'll all be about the Mississippi River and dams and the history behind them. And that is led by a community member that is an expert in that specific field. We also have, we partner with different school districts. The school district of La Crosse brings some of their elementary school classes to middle school students to come to the Myrick Park Center and do different activities, like Matt said, of learning about insects, to bees, to pollinators and decomposers, and really using the marsh and the Hickson Forest as kind of a backdrop and classroom, if you will, for education.
That's Andrea Frisch, coordinator for WisCorps' new inclusive program, here with us today to talk about youth employment and conservation efforts and education through WisCorps. Also joining us is Matthew Brantner, executive director of WisCorps, and Carmen Zinke, a former participant of the WisCorps program. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And you know, it seems like you guys do a lot of, you know, different things around the community and partner with a lot of different organizations. And, you know, Matthew, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about how you guys work with, federal and state agencies mm-hmm. through your Conservation Crew program, because I think that's a kind of a unique aspect of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Really how that works, and we talked about a little bit earlier that the programs or the state agencies, federal agencies will come to us with a specific project in mind. And in addition to just being able to do the work to build the trails and to work with the crews on that, we actually have staff who are experts at building trails, staff who are experts at restoring habitat, and they'll actually work with those federal agencies to design the project and then complete the project. The neat thing about that relationship that we have with, some of these agencies is it's, you know, put our crews to work in some of the coolest places that our state has to offer and the upper Midwest, you know. So we talk about, you know, all corners of Wisconsin, but we also do work at, as Andrea mentioned, Isle of Arles National Park with the National Park Service, and also Indiana Dunes National Lakeshore down in Hammond, Indiana. And so we've had opportunities with our crews to just go to some of the coolest places that the Midwest has to offer, you know, state parks and national parks, you know, working on the shores of Lake Michigan, the shores of Lake Superior. And so in working with these agencies, they also bring a lot of expertise. We provide a lot of expertise, but also, you know, working with the National Park Service, for example, in Indiana Dunes, their dune restoration specialists teach our crews so much about being able to propagate native plants and, you know, restore dune habitat along the shores of Lake Michigan. And it just offers such a cool educational opportunity for our Corps members that's even above and beyond what a lot of our standard crews get to do. And then in addition to that, and something I feel is very important, is that by working with those state and federal agencies, we actually provide a stepping stone from a lot of our Corps members who can get into that line of work. We have several Corps members who've gone on to work for the federal government. They've become firefighters with the federal government. They've become park managers, DNR. They've worked for the DNR. A lot of these different places, they actually go and just use that experience as a stepping stone to open up a whole career in natural resource management with these state and federal agencies. So it's a pretty amazing partnership, but it's not a new partnership. This is something that goes back to the CCC. The original Civilian Conservation Corps worked with the Department of the Army to house the young men in the Civilian Conservation Corps program, and then they'd work with the Park Service or the Forest Service to actually do the projects. So these types of partnerships go way back to the Depression era, and we're just proud to be able to continue that tradition.
And so obviously you guys, as summer kind of gets underway, you'll be working on a bunch of different projects. And I wonder, you know, where people might be able to see, you know, the Wiz Corps program crews out in the community this summer.
Well, this summer we're going to be putting 8 crews on the ground simultaneously throughout the state of Wisconsin, Upper Michigan, and Indiana, which you can imagine logistically is quite a undertaking to be able to do that many crews. We'll have crews stationed in the La Crosse area, so you might be able to walk out your front door here in the La Crosse area and see a Wiz Corps crew working. We've got our green hard hats on and uniforms out there doing the work, as well as, again, all the state parks and different regions in Wisconsin. So I guess that's the really cool thing about it is we are statewide. You know, we are based in La Crosse, but we focus statewide with our crews. And so hopefully if you're out and enjoying Wisconsin's natural resources, you're going to see a Wiz Corps crew out there helping to make them better as well while you're out there enjoying them.
We've been talking with Matthew Brantner, Executive Director of Wiz Corps, Andrea Frisch, Coordinator for the organization's new inclusive program, and Carmen Zinke, a former participant of Wiz Corps, about opportunities for youth employment and conservation efforts through the Wiz Corps program. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.